Well, today, as you already know, this is the first Sunday of Advent, and looking forward to the music next Sunday night. That's going to be good, right? Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So invite somebody to come with you. We're going to celebrate the Lord's birth and the thrill of hope. We're all about hope today. But this is the first Sunday of Advent. Growing up in the Assemblies of God, we never talked about Advent. I don't know that I ever heard the word in the context of the church. Advent was something churches with stained glass windows and candles talked about, but not us. And so 10 years ago or something around that, I preached a message about why I thought we should celebrate Advent, and somebody sent the sermon to headquarters, and they published a kind of a abbreviated version in the Pentecostal Evangel. So I took by that I was not a heretic and was encouraged by that somehow or another. And I think the last time I shared specifically about why I choose to celebrate Advent, why we do that here, was 3 years ago in 2018, just when I look back. And I just felt once again I needed to explain the meaning and reason for Advent, and just to kind of help us focus our hearts here and to get the most out of this season in the church calendar. So we're going to spend a couple of Sundays on the importance of Advent, of what it does or the point of it, the reason for it in terms of the life of the church. The term Advent, as Sarah just said, comes from a Latin word which means coming or arrival. For instance, we talk about the advent of the space age or the computer age or whatever. So we're just talking about the arrival of something. So in the church, Advent refers to the coming or the arrival of Jesus as a baby born in Bethlehem, born to be our Savior. It's the beginning of the church calendar, and so it's Advent, coming to the birth. There's Epiphany, there's Lent that brings us to Easter, there's Easter and the resurrection, then there's the Ascension, then there's Pentecost, and then there's regular time that occurs in the life of the church for those that kind of follow the liturgical church calendar. So as Christians, the season of Advent refers specifically to the four Sundays before Christmas Day. We think of the Christmas season as beginning, Walmart thinks it begins as soon as the Halloween candy's put up, but, earlier than that, all right. So that means that, but we tend to kind of think of the Christmas season beginning immediately after Thanksgiving and lasting until January the 1st when you put all the decorations up. But for much of the church's history, and still in what we call the Eastern churches, so the Roman Catholic and the Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox churches, and in many liturgical churches, Anglican and Episcopal and whatever, the Christmas season begins Christmas Eve and lasts until January the 6th, those 12 days, hence the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. December 24th to January the 6th. January the 6th is celebrated in churches as Epiphany, and that word means to reveal or to make known. Church tradition celebrates the arrival of the wise men on January the 6th, and by their gifts they made known that Jesus was the King of Kings and that he had even come to the Gentiles. So I'm telling you all this, just giving you a little background here. So in those churches, you won't hear carols sung or see Christmas decorations during Advent because those things are reserved for Christmas, which begins then, as we said, Christmas Eve. Advent is a more solemn season of preparation and anticipation. It's a time for exercising spiritual disciplines. So just as we would clean the house in preparation for the arrival of a special guest, or if a baby's coming, then you fix up the house and you fix a nursery and all those kind of things. Well, Advent is preparation time. It's preparation time for our mind and our spirit, preparing our hearts for his arrival. It's a time for prayer and reflection. And part of the tradition includes the Advent wreath and the lighting of the candles, as we did this morning. And it's simply another way for us to focus our hearts and minds on his coming and his birth. And so each Sunday as we light another candle, it helps us mark the progression of time, patiently and reverently waiting and anticipating his arrival, remaining focused on what's really important and what it's really all about. And part of the whole thing, and 2 weeks from today, we'll talk about time and the waiting of time, because as a child, that was always the worst part about Christmas, wasn't it? You had to wait. And there's this developing thing, you wait, and then finally we get the tree up, and then you have to wait, and you're waiting, and then presents start appearing under the tree, and you're having to wait, and it's that anticipation. But there's something, it's an increasing kind of hunger and appetite, and how many more days till Christmas, and it's just 3 more days, or it's just 5 more days. That's what this is about. When's Jesus coming? And it increases hunger and increases this anticipation. We're waiting, marking the progression of time. And so that's a quick look at Advent in the church. But let me share with you why I think Advent is important, at least for me, and why I think it should be important for our churches. When I became pastor in 1985, I began preaching an Advent series that year. Actually, I don't know that I called it an Advent series. I think I just called it a Christmas series or whatever. I really didn't even know what Advent was when I began. I just knew that one Sunday out of the year to talk about the incarnation, which means the God becoming flesh, to talk about that in one message just wasn't enough, right? That's not enough to focus on this incredible miracle. And so I just knew we needed to have this focus. And over the years, as the American Christmas season has become more and more about commerce, and it's become a secular holiday, and it's a winter festival, or it's a holiday greeting, or whatever it is, it's become less and less about the birth of Christ, and I think that's become an even more important reason for the church to focus on Advent. So in my mind, and you may just think I surrendered to the Christmas culture war too early, but Christmas has become a holiday, and I was always a little torn between, can we talk about Santa Claus, the kids are out of here, so anyway. But is it okay to sing, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas and all those kind of songs? Because, we need to make sure it's about Jesus. And so, our sins are washed away, and that's a white Christmas. Anyway, so I always wanted to celebrate that part of it. And so in my head, I kind of went, yeah, good. Christmas is a holiday, and it's about Santa and presents under the tree. It's about nostalgia and memories of simpler times and families gathered. It's also about crass commercialism and fighting and scrambling to get the best deal on toys and electronics and the latest, I've got to have that, or my child's got to have that, or he won't be able to go back to the second grade if he doesn't have one of those. And so that kind of commercialism makes children and retailers happy everywhere. But it's also about stress and frustration with a little pinch of peace and goodwill thrown in there, right? It's the bell ringers. Yeah. So Advent, though, is a whole different thing. Advent is something the world and the marketplace can't touch. It's not a holiday, it's a holy season. It's anticipating the birth of the Redeemer. Advent is the time to focus on this greatest of miracles, that God became flesh, that he took upon himself our nature in order to take upon himself our sin, so that by faith we could become partakers of his divine nature and his righteousness. Dr. Chris Green is a Pentecostal theologian and author. He actually resides here in Tulsa. And he wrote, Advent is a season of waiting on God in ways that open us more and more completely to the fullness of God, a time to learn to wait as God waits. It's a season of waiting on God in ways that open us more and more completely to the fullness of God. And what is the fullness of God? Paul said in Colossians that it pleased the Father to cause all of his fullness to dwell bodily in Christ Jesus. And so Advent is a season for us to open more and more completely to Jesus, because he is the fullness of God. That's why I'm a fan of Advent. I want us to stay focused on what is truly important at this season. Celebrate Christmas and the holidays, sing all the songs, give the presents, but let's observe Advent and the holy days. Let's learn to wait on God, with God, to become more open to Jesus, to the fullness of God. And with that said, you're thinking, well, now tell me again, what's the point? What's it all about? Well, that's what we're going to consider for the next couple of Sundays. So just consider a couple of three things with me this morning. First of all, just remember that Advent stands in opposition to a culture with misplaced values, right? It's why the church needs to observe Advent and take it seriously, because it stands in opposition to a culture with misplaced values. In America, at least, too much of our life is focused on possessions, on what we have, rather on getting rather than giving. And you say, but yeah, but Christmas is all about giving. Well, I understand that, and I agree to an extent, but just the flip side of that is the anticipation of Christmas is I'm going to get presents, all right? And so I know we try to teach our children, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's what the Bible says, and we want to give, but trust me, if you just give, tell your kids we're going to go down and we're going to give children toys to all the other children and you don't get anything, it's going to be a tough Christmas for you. That's just how it works, because we all want to get. It's just kind of our nature. We want that, and we talk about it every year. Like, are we going to buy presents for one another? You know, really? Do we need anything? I really don't need anything. I've got all the socks and ties I can use. I really don't need anything else. Of course, I need books, but I can't really think of it. Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying that we need more books, but is there anything else I can think of? But then deep down in my heart, I'm a grown man. I hate to go, but I really want a present. I really want somebody to give me a present. I want something to open, you know? Give me a toy. I want something, a truck. Anyway, so the heart of it is, no, we want to get stuff. Billions of dollars were spent Friday, and billions of dollars were spent Saturday. And is tomorrow Cyber Monday or whatever it is? I don't know. A few more billion will be spent then. People fight to get the last item on the shelf because possessions and having the right gift to give, even, and the right thing to get is all important. Advent stands kind of in the middle of the road in opposition to that commercially driven culture. So the Apostle John writes, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does." That's about what I want, what I see, and what I can possess. "The boasting of the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has comes not from the Father, but from the world." Advent reminds us that it's not about the things or possessions. It's not about what we have. It's about who has us. That Jesus has us and that we have him. It's about Jesus, about the birth of our Savior and Lord. What really matters is knowing him and loving him and living for him. And John adds this, "Then the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." And so we stood in line, well, I didn't, but anyway, some people stood in line to get that toy that your child is going to be so delighted to get, and 15 minutes after they got it, they already broke it, and they're playing with the box. Remember that? I mean, that's how it works, you know? And so the world and its desires and all the stuff is going to pass away. Things, the presents you'll get for Christmas, they'll all pass away. But knowing Jesus and obeying him and the gift of God's grace at work in your life, that, my friend, lasts forever. And that's what we're to value. And so Advent and celebrating Advent helps us order our priorities to value what is of eternal importance. And then consider this, that only the hungry can celebrate Advent. Only the hungry. It's those who recognize our neediness and his completeness that can truly celebrate Advent. You see, we recognize in Advent that we're broken, that we're needy, that we're all sinners, and Jesus is the Savior who's coming into the world. He's the one that we need. He's the only one who can save us and give us life and hope and healing and peace. Many of you will recognize the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I've quoted from him through the years. He was a German pastor and theologian, an author. He actually came to America and taught in a seminary, but felt that he needed to be back in Germany, where the church needed him during World War II. He went back, was eventually imprisoned and executed by the Nazis in 1945. Bonhoeffer wrote, "Advent can be celebrated only by those whose souls give them no peace, who know that they are poor and incomplete and who sense something of the greatness that is supposed to come, before which they can only bow in humble timidity, waiting until he inclines himself toward us. The Holy One himself, God in the child in the manger, God is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. Christ is coming. Rejoice, O Christendom. Bonhoeffer says it's the hungry that can celebrate Advent. It's those who have dwelt in great darkness that realize by faith and in hope that the light is coming. And Advent puts us in company with the hungry and the hopeful and those that are watching and waiting. It puts us in companionship with Simeon and Anna in the Gospel of Luke, two people who are waiting in hope. The Bible says of Simeon that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon was hungry, and he was waiting daily in the temple looking for the Messiah, not sure what he was going to look like or how he was going to be there, but he just knew what the Holy Spirit had spoken to him. Simeon was living in Advent. He was living in that season, though he didn't know it, anticipating Jesus' arrival. And when Joseph and Mary brought the baby into the temple, Simeon took the infant Jesus in his arms and said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon was hungry to see Jesus, to behold the glory of God's promise. And that, church, is what Advent is about. It's the waiting of Advent that helps increase our hunger for Jesus and his arrival. The closer he gets, the hungrier we get. We're hungry to behold him, hungry for his salvation, hungry for his glory. The closer we get to the meal, the closer we get to whatever it is we're anticipating, the hungrier we are. I'm starving. Well, we're just so close. We're just close. We're almost there. That's what Advent's about. And the waiting of Advent helps increase our hunger for Jesus and his arrival. So Thanksgiving, you tried to sneak a little piece of the turkey off the plate or whatever. Just wait. Everybody will be here, and then we're going to eat. And it's that anticipation. Man, I'm starving, and people bring food in, and, oh, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to eat. Advent is, think of it that way, that it's helping to increase our hunger for Jesus and his arrival. Simeon lived in Advent. Anna, too, lived in the season of Advent, anticipating and expecting the arrival of the Messiah. The Bible says she was a prophetess and that she was very old. Luke, being a wise man, didn't give her age. He just said she was very old. Seemed like it would have been better to just say she was this old as to say very old. How old do you have to be in the Bible to be considered very old? But anyway, Luke said she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She lived in that constant hunger and anticipation, a hunger to see God's glory. She longed to see the promise of redemption fulfilled. And when she saw the infant Jesus with Mary and Joseph, the Bible says she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. It's the hungry who celebrate Advent. We want to see him. We're anticipating this, and that desire and that hunger just keeps stirring something in us. The scripture says, "Believe and you'll see the glory of God." We want to see God's glory manifest. We want to see what we've not seen before. We want to know him, and so we're just hungering after him, desiring to know him. You arrived at Thanksgiving dinner hungry because you were anticipating a good meal. You made room for it, right? Like, I don't know that I'll eat breakfast this morning because I'm making room for grandma's, chicken and noodles or whatever. I got to have room for pie. People always say that. Don't eat too much. We got to leave room for pie. There's always room for pie. I don't know that you ever have to make room for that. But anyway, I'm leaving a little room for the pie. Well, we're anticipating that meal. Are you anticipating? Are you anticipating Jesus? Are you hungry for Jesus and what he brings? Make room for Jesus. And that's part of what this is. While everything else is crowding you, and I know you've got all these things you've got to do and the parties and the buying gifts and wrapping things and decorating and all that, but make room for Jesus in the midst of that and what he brings, and make room to see the glory of God. Make sure that you leave room not just for pie, but for Jesus, so you're hungry for him, because he will satisfy you if you're hungry for him. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And in Advent, we join with Anna and Simeon, hungry for redemption, hungry to see his glory manifest, hungry for Jesus, hungry for righteousness, hungry for right living. We recognize our poverty. We know that what this world offers isn't going to satisfy, but what we need is Jesus, and what we truly only can need is found in him. And so we're hungry for Jesus. We live in anticipation of his coming, knowing that all that hunger for Jesus is going to be satisfied. Advent makes room for Jesus in order to satisfy that spiritual hunger. I think I told this story just, I don't know, seems like a couple Sundays ago, who knows, but it just, it came in my mind again this morning about the little boy that when I'd ask kids to draw pictures of Jesus or whatever, and he said, what if you know what he looks like? And I said, well, just draw what you know. And so he drew this picture, and when I came back to him to ask, I said, so tell me about your picture. It was kind of the limits of the questions I could ask because of the research, but tell me about your picture. And then I said to him, he said it was one morning before school, and I saw him, and I said, well, were you sick or something? I thought, well, maybe he had some kind of, you know, experience. He was in the hospital, and Jesus appeared to him or whatever. I said, were you sick or something? And he said, no, I just really wanted to see him. His answer just always struck me. No, I just really wanted, he's like a third grade kid. I just really wanted to see him. And Jesus showed up in his room somehow or another, and he drew this picture. I told my committee at OSU, if you want to know what Jesus looks like, here's the picture. This kid drew him because he saw him. I just really want to see him. That's Advent. I just really want to see him. I want to be with him. I want to see his glory revealed. I want to know him. I want his presence to fill my life. I want to hunger for him and then have him satisfy that hunger. I want more hunger, because the hungrier I am, the more of Jesus I'm going to see and I'm going to discover. Remember what Chris Green said, it's about to open ourselves to more fully to the glory of God, to seeing him, to the fullness of God. That's what I want. God, increase my hunger during this season so that it can only be satisfied in Jesus. Everything else will kind of leave us like, TV's got nothing, and this is the 11,000th Hallmark movie, and I know how it's going to end. They're going to get together because they're just such lovely people, and so I just want to be hungry for Jesus, and we allow that to happen. Well, here's the next thing. Advent gives us time to clear our vision. Advent is a season for clearing away anything that clouds or distorts our spiritual vision. We often see only the physical or the temporal, and we fail to see the eternal. And Advent gives us opportunity to deepen our discernment so we can recognize Christ born and present in our life and in our circumstances. We see darkness and difficulty everywhere in 2021. We're prone to despair. It just gets weirder, and now we got another strain, another variant or something coming or whatever, and it's like, okay, it just seems a little hopeless. There's no easy answers, no solutions. Wickedness seems to be winning. And during Advent, we take time to clear our vision as we focus on God's promises. And I would tell you, look again with eyes of faith and hope, and remember what this season is about, the fulfillment of his promise. We read it this morning already, the fulfillment of his promise. Jesus is coming. It's not hopeless, because he fulfilled the prophecies and he will do it again. Look again at all things in the light of Christ and in the hope of Christ. I quoted earlier from Bonhoeffer. He was in prison in December of 1943 in Germany when he wrote these words to his fiancée, Maria von Wiedermeyer. He wrote, "Be brave for my sake, dearest Maria, even if this letter is your only token of my love this Christmastide. We shall both experience a few dark hours. Why should we disguise that from each other? We shall ponder the incomprehensibility of our lot and be assailed by the question of why, over and above the darkness already enshrouding humanity, we should be subjected to the bitter anguish of a separation whose purpose we fail to understand. And then, just when everything is bearing down on us to such an extent that we can scarcely withstand it, the Christmas message comes to tell us that all our ideas are wrong, and that what we take to be evil and dark is really good and light because it comes from God. And then he wrote this: our eyes are at fault, that's all. God is in the manger. Wealth in poverty, light in darkness, succor in abandonment. No evil can befall us. Whatever men may do to us, they cannot but serve the God who is secretly revealed as love and rules the world and our lives. Our eyes are at fault. God is in the manger. Boy, if you can't remember anything else this morning, just remember that. Our eyes are at fault. God is in the manger. God is in the manger. You say, well, what's your point? He's here with us. He's Emmanuel. God with us. God appearing in the flesh. God in the manger. And everything flips then. You're telling me God is in the manger. Yeah, then there's wealth in poverty and light in darkness and succor and abandonment. He's there to hold us close. That God's at work in ways that we can't even begin to understand, secretly revealed as love. He rules the world in our lives. God is in the manger. Hallelujah. Look again at the circumstances that overwhelm you this morning, and with clearer vision, see that Jesus is coming. See that Jesus has come, the Redeemer and Savior. Look again and see God at work in the darkness to reveal his light. See God at work again in our weakness, revealing his strength. See God at work in our poverty to reveal his plenty. And you may feel alone, but I just tell you, look again, God's in the manger. And everything changes. God's in the manger. He's with us this morning, and there's hope after all. It's Advent, and the coming of the one whose name is Emmanuel means that we're not alone, even if we feel alone or feel lonely this morning. That's what Advent is all about, pointing us to hold on to hope. And so you'll have to go back to work tomorrow, or back to school tomorrow, and the boss is going to tell you, we've got to get this done, or we're not going to have a Merry Christmas, or all this has to happen, or maybe you're working retail somewhere, or you're working three jobs, and you've just got grumpy people that are just mean and hateful and whatever else, because Merry Christmas. And so you're just having to deal with all that stuff again, and it feels overwhelming. But Advent points us to hold on to the hope in the midst of all this, to clear our vision. Advent takes care of those eye problems. And then finally, 9:32, and he said, finally, Advent points us to fulfillment. Advent prepares our hearts in anticipation of the fulfillment of God's promises, as we've kind of already said this morning. Consider Isaiah's prophecies. We read them this morning. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of his government and of his rule and of his authority there'll be no end. And finally, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And Advent causes us to remember that our God is faithful to his promises, and every promise and everything said about the coming of the Messiah and who he was and what he would do, all of that was fulfilled. But Advent causes us not only to focus on the prophecies of the birth of Christ, his first Advent to which we look, but it reminds us that the same one who promised the coming of Emmanuel through the words of the prophet Isaiah is the same one who made a promise of a day coming when every valley shall be raised up and every mountain and hill made low, and the rough ground shall become level and rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind together will see it. That he tells us a day is coming when he'll bring justice to the nations. He'll make the rivers flow on barren heights and turn the desert into pools of water. There's justice. There's abundant provision that even in the desert, God's going to provide for us in barren places. That the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and will study war no more. There'll be peace. and the wolf will not live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them, and they'll neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. A day is coming when there'll be justice to all in whom justice has been denied, and a day is coming when there'll be no lack and no sorrow. He's going to wipe the tears from our eyes, and there'll be abundant provision. A day is coming when there'll be no more war or strife between brothers or between nations or people or tribes. A day is coming when there'll be no harm, and we'll dwell in safety and security, for the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There's a day coming, and it's promised. It's promised to us. And the one who promised the coming of the Messiah, he promises this as well. That day is coming as surely as Christmas is coming. And it may be coming slowly, but it's coming. We're certain about Christmas because we're living on this side of his birth, living on this side of the death and resurrection. But if we read the prophecies again about a virgin giving birth to a son, if we read them from that side, before the nativity, before the events of Bethlehem, then we're reading them from the Advent side. We're reading them in anticipation, preparing, hoping, waiting, trusting that he will fulfill his promises in his time. And that's where we are today. We're living in expectation. We're preparing our hearts just like we're preparing the nursery, just like we're preparing the room for mom and dad to come live with you. You're preparing the mother-in-law quarters or whatever you're preparing for. You're preparing for an arrival. We're counting on it. He's coming. We're leaving a chair at the table. Who's that for? That's for the Messiah. That's for Messiah, because we're that certain that he's coming. We're living in expectation of the fulfillment of the promises. We're waiting for the fullness of time. We're waiting for the baby to come to term. We're waiting for all things to come to term. We're waiting for that moment when he comes again and makes all things new, that Isaiah's prophecies and others will be fulfilled. Learn to wait. Learn to wait. I don't just mean about waiting for Christmas. I mean we wait for the final resolution of things, for the fulfillment of things, when justice finally is settled and done, when it all falls into place, when he makes all things new. Learn to wait, and in the meantime, prepare yourself. As Bonhoeffer said, Advent can only be celebrated by those who know that they're poor and incomplete, who sense something of the greatness that is supposed to come. Advent is a season for us to focus on the greatness that is to come. What's coming? What's coming? Not just the birth, not just God in the manger, but what's coming beyond that? What is that expectation? Can we gaze into the manger, and can we gaze into the future? Read a little bit of Revelation. Don't worry about the scary parts. See if you can find God in there. See if you can find hope in there. See if you can find the completion of all things. See if you can see it there. That's the greatness that's supposed to come, before which we can only bow in humble timidity, waiting until he inclines himself toward us, the Holy One himself, God in the child in the manger. God is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. Christmas is coming, and we can rejoice. The Lord is coming. Let's prepare our hearts for his advent. Let's prepare our hearts for his return. Are you ready? Are you hungry? Are you anticipating his coming? And I'd ask us this morning just to renew our dedication to the Lord and purpose in our hearts that this season will be about him. In spite of all the busyness, that you'll take time out of every day, you'll find a way to make sure that your attention and your devotion is on Jesus and on his arrival. This is what Advent's all about. We're looking to you, Lord, and we're hungry for you. So I want you to think this morning. Maybe you've got an Advent devotional. I know some people have Advent calendars, and you're flipping something every day or whatever. You're getting the kids to get a piece of candy or whatever as they're anticipating. But I want you to take 30 seconds to think about it. What's one thing I can do to increase my hunger for Jesus during Advent? What's one thing I can do? If it's just one thing that I can do to enhance or to sharpen my focus on Jesus on his birth, on his arrival, and on his soon return again. What's the one thing I can do? And maybe that's reading an Advent devotional. Maybe that's just taking an extra 5 minutes every morning to read the scripture and to pray. I don't know what that's going to mean for you, but I want you to figure out a way to make this season of Advent meaningful and important, that it enhances and sharpens your focus on Jesus. Let's bow our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, we bring our hearts to you today. We understand how busy the season is and how strange it is in some ways. Boy, lots of things going on, but Lord, we don't want to miss what Advent is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about you and your arrival, your soon coming, Lord. And we want to make sure we don't miss it. We want to make sure, Lord, that our focus stays where it ought to, on you through all the busyness of the season. And so, Lord, as we just take a few seconds to think, what's the one thing I can do to increase my hunger for Jesus? Maybe it's having an Advent wreath and candles in our own home. Maybe just to look at it every day and to think, oh yeah, this is a season of preparation and anticipation. Do I live in that state of anticipation of the coming of the Lord? Or I get so busy that I don't even think about him through the day? Or am I thinking, boy, this could be the day Jesus comes. This may be the day. Lord, help us to live in that expectation. And then, Lord, let us consider what the implications of that, the ramifications of that. Because everybody that has that hope, everybody that has that expectation of the coming of the Lord, then we purify our hearts. It changes the choices and decisions we make. We don't live like that because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. No, everything changes. No, I can't do that. We're expecting a baby. No, I can't do that. I'm expecting Jesus at any moment. No, I can't do that. That's not how I choose to live. I'm expecting Jesus. Lord, let us live in that great sense of expectation. We look to you. We long for you. We're hungry for you today. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. God and the child in the manger, God is coming. The Lord is coming. Christmas is coming. And we rejoice. Amen. Amen. Lift up your hearts and rejoice, for the promises of the Lord are certain and true, and the one who said that he would come will come, and he will not tarry. And so trust in the Lord, rest in him, and know that his promises are true. You can believe and rest in the Lord. He will make all things new. We trust you today, Lord. We trust you today that you're renewing and redeeming, and in the fullness of time, Lord, you will come. Thank you, Lord. There's hope for us today. If you're going to make all things new, then there's hope for us today. It won't always be like this. You're going to make all things new. Hallelujah. 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 He's going to make all things new. That pain in my back won't be there forever. He's going to make all things new. Those parts you had replaced and the other ones that are wearing out, he's going to make all things new. Those relationships that are messed up and strained and stressed, he's going to make all things new. You can trust him today. You can trust him today. Let's stand together. Let's just sing this little chorus. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, for you are worthy. We focus our hearts to you. We're hungry for you, Lord. So come satisfy the longing of our heart. We with your presence. Fill us, Lord, with your glory and your presence in Jesus' name. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 I hope you'll stay for Sunday school this morning. There's classes. There's one right here. And it's going to be good. They're studying Ephesians in here. So join us for Sunday school. Thanks for watching online. Blessings on you.